If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Welcome to episode 15 of Say Why to Drugs. I'm Dr. Susie Gage, a researcher at the University of Liverpool now, interested in understanding associations between substance use and mental health. In this podcast, I talk to Scroobius Pip about a substance called CAT. It's a leaf that's chewed for its mild stimulant effect. It was made illegal in the UK in 2014. It's mostly used in this country by migrant communities, in particular Somali and Yemeni groups. The prevalence of use in the UK is pretty poorly understood, and there's been very little research into its effects. So a lot of what we'll talk about in this podcast are small studies that have been kind of inconclusive. But as always, just because we don't understand the effects of a substance very well, doesn't mean that the potential harms or benefits aren't true, just that more research is needed. But we'll get into this in the podcast. So without further ado, Pip and I say why to CAT.
Gage. Let's talk about CAT.
Yes.
And that's K-H-A-T.
Yeah.
Obviously. Before you listen to this podcast, if you haven't listened to the episode on synthetic cathinones, then I recommend that you go back and do that first, and why it will become apparent when we start talking. So CAT is a shrub that is grown in East Africa and the Arab Peninsula. It's a bitter-tasting leaf that is chewed, and when you chew it, it releases cathinone, there you go, and caffeine. So you sort of chew the leaves up and you hold the mulch kind of in your cheek for about an hour or so. And it's particularly popular in East African communities.
Okay.
It's generally sold fresh in sort of bunches, like an off-cutting of a shrub,
yeah.
Wrapped in banana leaf. It's also possible to get dried CAT, but the cathinone degrades quite quickly, so it's not as potent.
Right.
And it also means that, so for example, here in the UK where CAT isn't grown, if you want to get CAT, it has to be brought into the country sort of regularly, because if you don't use it within a day or so, it kind of loses its potency.
So freshness is very much a prevalent part.
What do you know much about CAT? What do you think the appeal of CAT would be?
Not a thing. I don't really have any knowledge of it. Kind of working backwards, it seems like a natural version of a synthetic drug that is popular. And again, there's always many people who are like, it's grown, therefore it's safe, which again, we've argued how ludicrous that can be in the past because of so many poisonous shrubs and plants and whatever else. So, yeah, my only association there is, a natural version of something that's probably more common over here than
CAT is. Absolutely. So, synthetic cathinone, it's things like methadrone that we've talked about on a previous episode. The idea about cocaine that we talked about, method of delivery, is also quite important here.
Yeah.
Because both methadrone and CAT have cathinone, just the same as both coca leaves and cocaine contain cocaine. But the onset and the effect can be quite different depending on how you consume it. So methadrone is most commonly kind of snorted or taken sort of as a, like swallowed as a bomb.
Yeah.
So it gets into your system in a certain way, whereas CAT, is a leaf that's chewed, so it's sort of a bit gentler, slower onset, certainly, yeah, and perhaps a slightly longer intoxication effect.
Yeah, it feels, again, whereas the previous ones, it's that instant, as I said, snorting or wrapping in a paper and swallowing is that instant thing, whereas from this, the slow absorption and keeping it in for a long time, I guess, so it's continually kind of topping itself up, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So it's often consumed sort of in a social environment by... So the Somali community, in particular in this country, the men of the community anyway, will get together in these... they're called mafreshis, like chewing houses, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they'll get together and have a sort of social kind of interaction for a few hours while they chew these leaves. So it's sort of... kind of used in maybe a similar way to alcohol, and it's like a social lubricant. So some of the short-term effects are, as I said, it's got a fairly slow onset, so roughly about an hour, and it lasts a few hours. So a chewing session might last, say, 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's increases feelings of well-being. It makes you feel more chatty, gives you a positive mood. It also can... it's a stimulant, so you get this kind of alertness and jitteriness, this increase in heart rate, blood pressure, energy, you know, the stimulant thing that we say for every single one, decreases your appetite and your ability to sleep, and it can sometimes lead to constipation as well. And there's some suggestion it's sort of similar to like strong coffee. It's that kind of a stimulant kick. So it's not as extreme as something like cocaine, but again, like this is like coca leaf isn't as extreme as something like cocaine because of the method that you consume it. You don't get the hit. So that's why it's more like a coffee, because it's a slower onset.
Yeah.
There's also some people who report that when they take it, they feel more imaginative, or it helps them have kind of associative thinking.
Yeah.
And like most of these drugs, it has a come down afterwards, which is sort of the opposite of the intoxication effect. So you might get sort of mood swings and feel grumpy or irritable afterwards. And longer term, it is addictive, but because it's a slower onset, it's less addictive than in other forms.
Yeah.
But also because it's so ritualized in its use, this can increase the ability for you to become dependent on it, because it's associated with, like, the setting is really important.
Yeah.
And if you use it multiple times a week, then you do end up building up a tolerance, and that can lead to dependence.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it feels there that as much as anything, the scenario could become... could be as addictive as anything else, if you know what I mean. The ritual of going round for these gatherings... Yeah.
Although it's interesting because it's less commonly used by women, because it's more, it's sort of the men who meet up together to use it.
Right.
But when women do use it, they tend to use it on their own at home.
Okay.
And actually, that's sort of a more dangerous way to use a substance.
Yeah.
If you think about alcohol, having a drink in the pub compared to drinking by yourself at home, it's much more sort of, maybe it's just more indicative of situation that if you're using it by yourself, it tends to mean that you've got more of a dependence on
it. And it's often, from the outside seen more as addicted behaviour. If alcohol's the perfect example there. No one bats an eyelid if you're out at the pub with your mates, but if someone pops round and you're six cans deep on your own, then they're going to be like... Is everything all right, mate? Are you okay?
Exactly. Yeah. Withdrawal from cat is things like headaches. You might get sort of trembles as well. And some people report having weird nightmares.
Okay.
And you do get sort of potentially mood problems. Although it's manageable for most, it's probably more similar to trying to cut down caffeine than cocaine. Again, we've said this for every single stimulant, if you've got underlying heart or blood pressure problems, then it can increase your risk of heart attack or heart problems. And again, like most drugs, it's metabolized by the liver, so it can lead to liver damage if prolonged and frequent use. And there's some instances of seemingly very damaging liver problems from use of cat. But I think this is, again, it has to be pretty extreme use for long periods of time. There's also some suggestion that it can make mental health problems more severe. And particularly like the Somali community where it's commonly used, there might be people who've experienced traumatic events and have post-traumatic stress disorder from these kind of experiences that they've had. And there's some suggestion that cat might worsen the symptoms of PTSD and could even lead to psychotic episodes. But again, I think this is a real potential where is the cat a trigger or is it actually a coping mechanism? Yeah. It's really hard to disentangle that.
And again, it's tough because it makes some sense there. If there's reports of it causing bad dreams or heightening bad dreams, then that makes sense with PTSD and all things like that. But equally, they both play into each other as well.
Exactly.
Bad dreams and night terrors are a horrible a manifestation of PTSD and things like that. So.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really, really difficult to disentangle, and there's been very little research into cat. So
particularly when it is almost a ritualistic thing and quite a cultural thing, even harder to have accurate studies and to have it talked about or shared or looked into, because it's, from the sounds of it, it's a very private engagement as such, or more frequently quite a private thing, you know,
within social within the community, but something specific to that community.
Not all bowling around the street chewing, you know what I mean? Being very internalized with,
I think it's quite interesting the way that the use of cat hasn't really transferred outside of that community despite it being been available. It's quite sort of surprising given that it's the same substance that as methadone, which became really, really popular. It's maybe just the different way of taking it and the fact that it's sort of linked to this culture rather than it's just seen in a different way.
And maybe the short life of it, the fact that it has to be
taken
in the news
straight
kind
away.
Of immediately.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
Of, yeah.
That's very true. It's also linked to long-term use is linked to things like hepatitis and cirrhosis and potentially some oral cancers as well. Because
I was
going to
ask about that because when we discussed or it's known that chewing tobacco, for example, it's spending a prolonged time in your mouth.
Yeah.
It's more likely to...
Yeah, and again, it seems like it's a similar
one,
kind
right.
of thing here. And there's reckoned that about half of regular users develop kind of precancerous, like, white lesions in their mouth from chewing it. But again, this could well be related to the sort of risk of cancer.
Yeah.
There's also some suggestion it might lower sperm count. It could lead to constipation. I think we mentioned that, sleep problems and appetite problems.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to really know about the cancer risk and things as well, because often in these kind of chewing houses, people are also smoking tobacco.
Yeah.
So if you're sort of in an enclosed space where there's lots of smoke as well, then that's going to be bad for your health as well. So trying to sort of untangle these kind of things.
Is there any information on its effects when mixed with anything else? Because again, just thinking, if this is something that you'll keep in your mouth for a prolonged time, for a whole evening, surely you'll likely also be drinking alcohol or drinking something as well. So is there a thing where
it's quite commonly not so much alcohol, but fizzy drinks with caffeine is tend to be consumed at the same time.
Yeah.
And obviously this is two stimulants at once, so you're putting even more strain on your heart if you're taking it, and also potentially damaging your teeth, the combination of sort of opening up lesions in your mouth and then drinking really
sugary
drinks.
Stuff,
it's a pretty bad
cocktail,
bad combination. Yeah. Okay, so if we get on to the myths. So cat isn't really a drug. It's kind of like caffeine and alcohol. It's not really a drug. And this is how it's quite often seen by the people who use it. And it potentially can lead to sort of more harm than otherwise, because if people have gone to the doctor saying that this man went to the doctor with liver problems and was asked, well, do you use drugs? And he said no.
Right.
And so what was actually causing the liver problems was the cat, and it wasn't picked up because he'd sort of hadn't really even seen it as a drug, so didn't think to report it in that way. So his problem went undiagnosed while his health sort of deteriorated because he just didn't see it as a drug. And then the other myth I heard about cat was that it's only really harmful to pregnant women and to everyone else it's absolutely fine.
Right.
And we've sort of said enough to make it clear that that's not the case.
Yeah.
I mean, and like we say in all of these podcasts, no drugs are without harm. Chewing it minimises your chances of sort of dependence and addiction, but they are still possible. If we think back to the cocaine episode, the relative risks of chewing coca leaves compared to snorting cocaine, yeah, compared to smoking crack is the sort of the level of harm increases, but that doesn't mean that the least harmful thing is harmless.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned all the possibilities of harms here, and although it's not understood whether specifically the cat or whether the cat is a coping mechanism or whether it's the cat in combination with things like caffeine or cigarette smoke or all that kind of thing, but no drugs are without harms,
Parrot
up that phrase again and again.
And it's an interesting one where it's currently so specific to a specific situation that, again, it's even harder to get accurate reads of what is causing
absolutely.
It. As you said, it's generally a smoky room, a fizzy drinks, and so on and so forth. It's like, which bits are causing what damage?
No way of really separating that out at all.
Yeah.
So if we move on now to, are there any benefits from a cat? Well, there's sort of very little known in terms of, like, for want of a better phrase, Western medicine. But in the North African communities where cat is popular, it's used to treat things like depression, tiredness. It's quite an obvious one because it's a stimulant.
Yeah.
And depression's interesting given what we talked about in the amphetamine episode about perhaps that being a treatment-resistant depression of treatment. Then it's also used for things like gastric ulcer. It's used to treat hunger, which is probably treating the symptom but not the cause. You know,
it might make
you feel less hungry, but it's not going to keep you nutritionally satisfied.
Yeah.
And then what makes more sense, used to treat obesity. But again, as we said in the amphetamine episode, that the amphetamine was used for diet pills, but it's not necessarily the best way to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Simply not eating, that's not really how it works.
And there is some research going on sort of looking at whether cats could be used to treat phobias and potentially to lower cholesterol.
Yeah.
But this is kind of, it's been shown in some studies, but these are kind of pilot studies. There's not really very strong evidence yet. But I think it's interesting, this yet another drug that is perhaps got benefits that we haven't maybe considered before.
Right, yeah. It's fascinating.
Cool.
And there we go. Thanks again for downloading the podcast, and thanks to Professor Harry Sumnell for his helpful advice in prepping this episode. So as you may have realised from the intro, I've now moved away from the University of Bristol and I've started my job at the University of Liverpool. So it's very exciting times for me at the moment, but it's also why I've been really busy and haven't been uploading podcasts. So apologies for that. The next episode is going to be the long-awaited and long-promised episode about e-cigarettes. And part of the reason I've delayed this one is because I'm about to start running a scientific study investigating e-cigarettes, and I wanted to talk about that in the podcast intro. A little sneak preview, I'm going to be recruiting 3 groups of people to take part in this study, and some of them I think are going to be quite difficult to find. So I'm looking for people who vaped but have never smoked, and this is obviously the challenging group. I'm also going to be looking for people who've smoked but never vaped and people who've never done either. I'll explain much more detail in the next episode, but briefly, we'll be collecting saliva samples from these 3 groups of people and then analysing patterns of DNA methylation, which may give us an insight into how similar or different e-cigarettes are from traditional cigarettes. If you're interested in taking part, then do get in touch with me on Twitter at Sousaphone, and tune in to the next episode to find out more information. Thanks again for downloading the podcast. Bye. You've been listening to Say Why to Drugs with me, Dr. Susie Gage. The music was by Jim Murray. The artwork was by My Name Is Ad. Say Why to Drugs would not have been possible without the generous support of I'm a Scientist, Get Me Out of Here, the Medical Research Council, and Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.